From Digitiki.com.
In all the vast and unknown depths of the ocean, how could there have been only one? Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, the legend continues.
Welcome to the Quiet Village. Welcome back for another visit here at the Quiet Village. I'm your host, DigiTiki, coming to you this time from Palm Springs, from the Lahaina Room, which is Rory's little home tiki bar. And we're doing Jaws 2, or Jaws Episode 2. We had so many people that wrote in that really got a kick out of the rum tasting and the talk on the first Jaws movie. And they were said, why don't you guys do Jaws 2 or the other movies? So we decided, what the heck? So we are back in Palm Springs. We are tasting a new set of rums, and we're talking Jaws 2, 3, and 4. And so I just want to warn you, we get a little tipsy, and which is funny because the Bond episode that I did, everyone really got a kick out of the fact that we were tipsy, but this one too. So we're tasting rum, and this is PG-13, so just be aware. Oh boy, you guys asked for it. Oh,
farewell and adieu to you fair Spanish ladies. Farewell and adieu, you ladies of Spain. All right, here we go.
Not only are we trying this rum for the first time, the cork snapped off, so yeah. We're getting parts of the cork as a flavor note.
As a flavor, yeah. Oh, that's actually really nice.
Yeah.
Calivore Blonde Rum, 80 proof.
With a whale on the bottom.
With a whale on the cover.
Artsy cover. The
That's good.
The cork snapped off. We're going to do this like we did this last time with the original Jaws episode. We are going to do a checkoff list of the day.
And we're going to do...
So we're going to start with the Cavalry.
This is a
California Blonde, I thought this was.
Yeah, it's a blonde.
California Glory.
It's almost white. It's got a tiny bit of yellowing.
That's pretty much just from the cork.
And the cork fell in. But I will say, this is a good rum.
What would you give it on a scale of 1 to 5? Don't get nutty like last time.
Scale of 1 to 5, I'd give it a 5.
Okay, and we can...
And I mean a solid 5.
Okay. I'm going to start off with a 4.
Yeah.
Because we've got 14 rums there. Not that we're drinking them all tonight.
The reason I gave it, you could sip it or put it in a cocktail.
All right.
Now, before we go any further, we are here to do Jaws 2. Mm-hmm. But not... the movie Jaws 2. We're going to do every sequel while we're tasting rum because we got so many requests for people to do one with all the sequels. So we're going to do it, and we're tasting rum. We are in the casita at Rory's.
The Lahaina Room.
Oh, it's the Lahaina Room. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're good. In the casita.
The casita, which is called the Lahaina Room, and I will tell you, this is a beautiful place. We're in Palm Springs. There's a wonderful breeze outside. The sun is setting, and the weather is fantastic. And we have our mayor
jackets from Jaws.
Our mayor jackets with the anchors on them.
Anchors on them. Past 3 to 4 days, we both sat there and rewatched those movies.
Yes.
So we can give you guys honest assessments.
Here we go. So the first thing, Jaws 2.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Jaws 2. Right away, the Universal wanted a sequel.
Yeah.
Spielberg turned him down because he wanted to do a different... He wanted to... Now, here's the thing a lot of you may not know. Spielberg wanted to do a sequel that was a prequel. It would have been Quint on the Indianapolis, which I think would have been a blockbuster.
The Book of Quint.
Yes.
Yes, which became the book.
And I have read the Book of Quint. If those of you who are not interested are not in,
but that book didn't exist at that point.
It didn't exist. Yeah. There was a fan who wrote a book, and it's out now called The Book of Quint. And it basically, the book opens with Quint in the water after the Indianapolis sank, and ends right up to the point where Jaws the movie starts. And it is a wonderful read. Yeah.
Barney said you'll let me read it after he's done. He still hasn't gotten to
it. I should have brought it to
you. I only want a signed copy, though, because I only do high-end.
Well, signed by me, even though I didn't write it. We're doing rums that Rory had.
And the great thing, which I find very clever in any commercial bar as well as a home bar, is there is exceptional rum that isn't really well known.
Mm-hmm.
It's inexpensive, and when you drink it, it's as good,
yep,
if not better, than some of the stuff that's been promoted. So we are going to go through some of the giftings we had and some of the stuff that we word of mouth about and stuff that I'll get from sponsorship that you taste and go, I get it, man.
Yeah.
There's too many rum providers these days trying to kind of recreate the wheel.
Yep.
Dude, if it's good, it's good.
So Calivore, or Calivore.
Marty, 5 stars.
Who gave you this? Was this a gift, or was this
a... It was
a
gift, but I'm going to be a bad friend and not remember who gave it to me at the
moment.
We're
just going to say it was a friend.
But I'm corking it now since the cork snapped off
with
a old Coco Joe's bottle topper.
Is that a legit Coco Joe's?
Yeah, I got a couple.
It says Aloha. It's awesome.
I gave one to Cy. If you were a local, you would be getting one too, but you're not a loco.
I'm not a loco.
You're loco.
I'm loco. Coco Joe's, if for those of you who don't know, Coco Joe's was a tiki place. And I don't want to say tiki bar. It was a tiki place.
Yep.
Because they had gift shops. It was a big place.
And they did a lot of merch. They did what was the fake lava.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was made in Hawaii, and they made it out of fake lava.
Okay.
Or they out of fake wood.
Okay.
Yeah. So they called it, Hollywood, which is fake wood.
Yeah.
The next one we're going into, because we actually need the bottle topper.
Okay.
Since this one deteriorated, it's a full bottle of awesome we're going to be drinking.
Okay.
Is the Foursquare Dante.
Foursquare Detente. What year is that? I can't read all that right.
We are getting older.
Yeah.
These are small batch bottles, 51%, 10-year.
10-year.
Pot and, let's say, pop blend.
Oh, it smells wonderful.
Cheers.
Smell that. You've got butterscotch, and you got the barrel. It's got more of a bite.
It's got more of a bite,
but it's
buttery.
It's complex. Okay, the Detente, Foursquare Detente. That is really good. Jaws 2, they brought back Brody.
Yep.
They brought back the wife. And I will say...
They brought back most of the management of the city.
Almost everybody. And I will say this right now. The mayor got reelected, folks. Remember that.
Yeah. We're living in the world of Jaws.
We are.
The mayor doesn't care about the society at all.
Yep. And the mayor got reelected.
And if you pay attention to Jaws 2, this is something I stumped our good friend, you know... Digitiki with is Brody is driving the same vehicle, but in blue.
In blue.
So if you watch the first one, it's in mustard yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's doing it in kind of a Robin's Egg blue.
Oh.
Kind of like when they re-released the Broncos.
Yeah.
They were done in those two colors.
Your favorite scene.
Yeah.
Your favorite scene from Jaws 2.
Man, there's so many.
There's actually good ones because it makes it feel like you're back where you were.
You know, the most... here I would say is what I consider maybe one of my favorite scenes, but most uncomfortable scenes at the same point. Brody still doesn't want his kids in the water.
Yeah.
And when he's up on the shark tower and he humiliates himself, quotation marks, because he shoots at the bluegills.
Yeah.
And everyone thinks he's an idiot.
Yeah.
But in the end of the movie, saves everyone from a shark. They try to defame him.
The touching part was his son, Sean, is there picking up the bullet shells.
Recreating the scene from Jaws 1 when they do the hand things at the table.
Yeah.
That was their shared moment.
I love that moment. The screaming chick.
Oh, fuck.
'79?
Yeah, probably. You're probably.
But the chick, she screamed so much, but she was hot.
She was hot, but annoying.
Hot, but annoying.
And then the other thing I always notice, because it's such a beautiful timestamp, that movie, is all the dorks, quotation marks, have aviator but real glasses.
Yeah.
Super thick. And the one guy was the main actor in Christine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he was also the main one in Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield.
Okay.
So he was in there when he had a full head of hair, when the 70s hair. The most memorable scene to me, and at the same point kind of comical scene, is when they are on the water and they are skiing.
Skiing.
And the shark comes in. And then the lady who loses her skier,
yeah,
the jaws attach the ship, and she throws gasoline all over herself,
yeah,
and all over the shark to get killed and blow up.
That was one part I still to this day think is cool, is like the gnarly half burned shark.
Yeah. Part two and part three pay so much homage to the first one; they always recreate the scenes.
Yeah, well, the orca. Too, the chewed up orca,
yeah,
which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because everybody thinks of killer whales as like dominant.
Yeah.
And then here's this one that's all chewed up. And I love the line from the scientist where he says, if another shark came.
You don't think that if a shark was destroyed, that another shark could come in.
Sharks don't take things personally, Mr. Brody.
I love that one.
Jaws, the revenge, coming up later.
Yeah, the revenge is coming.
Well, on that same note, this is something I'll ask you, because we didn't talk about this, but maybe people listening would want to recheck. If you watch Jaws 2, there's a scene right at the beginning where they go underwater with the cameras and see the orca.
Yeah.
I don't remember that orca
sign. I don't remember that.
That orca sign's not the same as from Jaws.
No.
It's a little sign about this, but it says orca.
Oh, yeah.
And that wasn't in Jaws 1.
I loved that opening scene because right when you see the ship, they do a little bit of the Quint theme.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the divers knew what they were looking for.
Oh, they were looking for.
They weren't there just for the hell of it and by accident. They knew what they were looking for.
Yeah. And there, Brody, during that scene, after they die and they retrieve the camera somehow.
Yeah.
He gets the phone call and he doesn't want to deal with anyone. This is after he didn't look professional on the beach.
Yeah.
He picks up the phone in his office, doesn't want to respond, and obviously the guy says he has photos. He's like, what photos? Loved it. Oh, before we go on too much of a tangent,
yeah.
Foursquare.
Detente.
What are you scoring it?
Again, I'm not a good one. I would say a 6.
There's only 5, Marty. You already went 5 with the last one. On a scale of 1 to 5. So how are you going to give it a 6?
Because I liked it a little bit better than...
So you're going to give it past a 5, which 5's the top.
A 3.
Okay, so are you sticking with the 5 on the first one then?
No. If I would give that one a 2.5.
Wow.
Can we do 2? Can we do points?
You can do 2.5.
Okay.
I thought it was better than 2.5, but you stick. You know what? I'm going to give it a 4. Okay. Like I said, are 2 4s in a row. All right. I thought the first two drinks, both exceptional rums. And by the way, guys, you know, as we're having a couple drinks, we have these beautiful Moai ice cubes that we are going to filter them a little bit so we don't burn our esophagus after.
And they look wonderful, I will tell you.
You know what? I want to show our good friend, Digitiki, Mark Riddle, Marty Lush, a good time where he gets to break away for a little while.
Jaws 2 is one of those where... I was a kid when I saw Jaws 1, and then I remember going to see Jaws 2. My mom took me and my best friend to see it, and it was sold out, so the only thing we could get was second row, and it was a giant theater in San Diego. So the screen was huge, and I remember sitting there being mortified, and when the woman jumped, the burnt body jumped up, I jumped up and ran to the back of the theater and stood in the back for the entire movie. I left my mom and my best friend down in the second row, and I watched the movie from the back.
See, again, as we get older, that jump scare was the equivalent of finding the girl that dies at the beginning of Jaws 1 when they found her hand.
Yeah.
it feels like they kind of just redid the movie again.
A little bit.
So like I love watching, because like I said, I love the, even with Jaws the Revenge, I love the Jimmy Buffett Florida kind of color palette of that era, and the filter they used. Everything was glam. Jaws 1 wasn't glam at all. I mean, the most glam thing in Jaws 1 is when the old guy leaves the grocery store with a pipe in his mouth.
Yeah.
And he walks right into the camera.
Right into the camera.
I mean, that is the most awesome scene I can ever.
Oh, what?
Oh, what?
Okay, so Jaws 2, my favorite shot in the movie, was the one where Brody is pulling the shark in and the shark is barreling towards him just under the surface. That one shot from behind Brody looking at the shark coming at him is awesome. That shot looks really good. The worst shot in the movie?
Yes.
Okay, is the one where Brody's son gets pulled aboard and the shark scrapes up against the side to the point where the plastic on his nose breaks.
On the shark's nose?
Yes. If you look, he has a break in his nose because the shark scrapes up against it. And people now, this is on the internet. In the theater, you could not see this, but on the internet now, people have lightened the image to the point where you can see the hydraulics in the mouth.
Shit, really?
Yeah, it's so fake looking. It's like, wow, that shark broke his nose trying to get, and broke his jaw too, because if you look at that, the shark just pancakes up against the side of the boat. But the rest of the movie I liked. I would give Jaws 2 out of 5, because since we're doing 5, out of 5, I would give Jaws 2 a solid 4. Because Jaws, the first Jaws was a 5 and beyond.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Easily.
Okay, you're getting a 4.
I'd give it a 4.
You know, I will give Jaws 2 4. I will agree with you.
You give it a 4.
You know, the thing is, they realized in our childhood, which I don't know if this is good or bad, they realized as soon as you gave me, I loved the movie Jaws. So if you're going to give me part 2 and it has the same actors and the same feel.
Yeah.
Dude, you got me.
Yeah.
You got me. So them to even bring back the lady who owned the shop down the road, the mayor, the attorney, all of a sudden Brody's wife is working for the one guy who was in the part 1.
Yeah.
I'll give you 4 stars on that one.
I felt bad for Brody in that one because he had the proof. He had the photo.
Yeah.
And I loved his speech.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about being sued or being ruined. If this turns out to be what I think it is, because there won't be anybody here.
Yeah, now, Martin, let's not...
Let's not what, Larry? What?
Oh, Jesus. Larry, huh? Come on, let's just forget it. He won't listen. It's obvious the man has made up his mind.
You bet your life I've made up my mind. But I'm telling you, and I'm telling everybody at this table, that that's a shark. And I know what a shark looks like because I've seen one up close. And you better do something about this one because I don't intend to go through that hell again.
And then they fired him.
They asked him to leave the room.
Yeah.
They could discuss it amongst themselves.
That was messed up because he saved their asses just a few years prior.
Well, you know, I like how the premonition of showing the power line earlier. Remember?
Yes.
When they were scouring for...
The power line.
Yeah, and they picked up the power line that ended up killing Jaws.
Yes. And I want to actually say, in the book of Quint, the power junction, the cable junction... plays a part because they're building it in the book of Quint.
Okay.
And he, I'm not going to tell you, but it plays a small part.
The movie's from 30, 40 years
ago.
I'm sure, we don't, we're going to give you a sneak peek of a movie from 40 years ago.
I cannot recommend the book of Quint enough, and I am going to bring it. Next time I come, I'm going to bring it for you to read.
Okay, I'm up for it. So how are you going to say this next round?
Abuelo.
Abuelo in Yale.
Which is grandpa.
12-year.
12-year.
This is the next year we're trying.
Abuelo, 12-year. Yeah. Who does this? Or is that the name? Ron Abuelo, which means... Abuelo means grandfather.
Product of Panama.
It's
Grand Reserva.
Panamanian, okay. Yeah. We're going down south.
You know, I need you to get that in you. We get ready for that, we're going to be talking about our Jaws 3.
Right. We're moving on. So
we can go back and forth. We're not locked in.
All right. And now, nature's most terrifying creature takes on an all-new dimension in an all-new adventure. And for the first time, the terror of Jaws will not stop at the edge of the screen. Jaws 3D. The third dimension is terror.
But Jaws 3, first of all, the worst beginning sequence and closing sequence of any of the Jaws movies. That's when they're trying to do Jaws 3D.
3D.
In the beginning segment, where obviously Jaws, in quotation marks, because they don't show him, bites the head off of a fish.
A grouper.
So it's just a grouper head still breathing.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't know to stop. Terrible start of a movie. And when it ends and they blow up Jaws, and it's his teeth floating in the water in 3D.
Oh.
Terrible. But it's the most star-studded of the Jaws movies. Give me some names.
Louis Gossett Jr.
And?
Bess Armstrong, who I had a little crush on in the early 80s. She was the love interest for Brody.
Okay.
Who was played by?
The girl from Back to the Future.
No. The Brody.
Wait, Jaws 3?
Jaws 3. That was Brody. That was his oldest son.
Yeah, well, which is Dennis Quaid. Yeah, but his girlfriend in that was...
Bess Armstrong.
Well, see, I didn't know her name. The blonde girl. Yeah. She's a cutie. Yeah.
She was in Out of Africa, but what was that movie with... It was an Australian movie with Magnum P.I. guy. What's his name? Shit.
This isn't the girl... I saw her. I thought this was the girl from Fargo. She the girl from Fargo?
Mm-mm.
Well, Brody's younger brother in this. Because now I got to go back and look at the other
Brody's movies. Younger brother's the one that's...
So wait a second. Now that we say this with Jaws 3, are they correct that it's the same two brothers?
It's the same two brothers.
Because they look nothing like each other in The Revenge.
They don't. But that's supposed to be Sean and...
Okay.
Michael is the engineer who's building the SeaWorld undersea kingdom. Yeah.
Where did they film that at? Do you know?
God, I think I don't know. I
was there a SeaWorld in Florida?
Yeah, I think it was in Florida.
Okay. Well, even the guy who was the shark hunter that was smoking the cigars in this thing, he looked a lot like the guy, which is not that guy. The actor's very familiar. He looked like the guy from Arachnophobia.
Oh, yeah, not him.
Yeah.
The actor's name was McCorkindale.
Holy cow!
Yes, and I believe...
How did you know that?
I remember that. The one scene that stood out to me as horrifying was the one where Michael McCorkindale, who plays Fitzroyce, that's his character. He's this big hotshot photographer, undersea photographer. He gets swallowed alive by the shark.
Remember that.
And I remember sitting in the theater going, oh, shit, as a kid. And I was like, whoa.
They showed a lot of blood in that movie.
There was a little bit more of a kill count in that movie. Yeah. They were a little
and
more.
Traumatic kill count. Well, they recreated the scene from Jaws in that one with the two Hobokens that were looking for coral.
Yes.
In the blow-up dinghy.
They were the ham guys.
They were the equivalent of the ham guys.
They were the equivalent of the ham guys.
Yeah.
And you don't really see anything, but the guy's down there and suddenly the light goes out.
Yep.
And then the other guy gets pulled in.
Yep. And then the boat gets up.
And the boat gets eaten, which I thought was
back to the
cool.
Kilmer kid.
At the time, 3D was a brand new thing again.
Yep.
So it was a big deal. And in fact,
the 13th was doing that around the same era.
Friday the 13th. So if you watch it again, you'll see a lot of shots where there's things poking really close to the camera. Now, when you see it in 2D, it's like, why the hell did they do that?
Yeah.
But it was because it was in 3D. And it actually looked pretty good in 3D, except for the special effects.
Special effects were terrible.
The special effects were awful.
And if you guys remember the storyline or want to rewatch it, They catch Jaws's baby.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought they caught the main shark, but it wasn't. They caught the younger one. And you kind of knew something was going on because when you watch the movie and they catch the one shark, it's not that large and it's taken down by one barrel.
One barrel.
Yeah, versus three barrels.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's not the shark. Couldn't be.
No. But it's it made me pay attention to thinking it was.
Well, it's interesting because, and we're going to talk a little bit about spinoffs.
Yeah.
They kind of did that same trope with Meg.
Yeah.
The first Meg.
Oh, yeah.
They caught this giant shark and they think, oh, this is the one. And then you realize, oh, hell no, there's one twice that size.
When they catch the shark and then the bigger shark comes and bites the other one off of the rigging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember. Meg was good.
So
we are in the steroid era of, like, the only way to make a prequel better is it to literally make it bigger.
Is make it bigger.
Which is strange to me.
Jaws 3, the best shot was Fitzroy's in the shark's mouth.
Yeah.
Which is horrifying.
Yeah.
I couldn't stop watching it, but it was horrifying. The worst shot was at the very end when the shark breaks through the glass of the observation thing.
Oh, yeah.
And they show an exterior shot of this little puppet shark trying to get in. And you can tell it's a puppet.
Yeah.
It wasn't done in a way that masked it. You look at that and you go, oh my God, that thing's got to be, what, 4 inches long?
Yeah.
And I remember being in the theater and people were laughing because it was so awful. And
it was definitely a movie where their vision didn't match the technology.
No.
So you had to, like, dumb it down. When you saw Jaws 1, the gimmick of Jaws 1 was so good because the story was so good. The development of every character was so good, and they realized they had to compensate for the lack of technology. This one, they kind of used technology, which wasn't strong at that time, to try to make it better, and it became laughable.
Laughable.
Yeah, and you watch that, and you go, but, I don't want to forget this note, in Jaws 3, there is a tiki bar.
Yes, there was a tiki bar scene where they're drinking beers.
Do you remember what beers they're drinking?
Wasn't it Michelob?
Michelob,
yeah.
Yep. So when you go to a tiki bar and you drink Michelob, you're doing a silent homage to Jaws 3.
To Jaws 3.
And a bunch of that stuff, probably from Oceanic Arts.
Mm-hmm. Oceanic Arts probably supplied all of that set stuff.
So now we got to ask,
fluffy hair.
Have you tried the new rum yet?
No, we haven't. We have not tried
Obelix. Get in there and
we're about to do that.
Yeah.
Ron Abuela, which means rum grandfather. And I am really interested in this because I've never heard of this one.
I've already ranked it, baby.
All right,
here
we go. I
want to see what you got, though.
Here we go. Jaws 2, Abuelo 12. Ooh, it smells really good. Butterscotch, caramel. I get the oak barrel in the nose. I sound like I know what the hell I'm talking
about. You
do. Very, very good. It's a little darker than the last one. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
That's delicious. Okay. Oh, shit. Okay, Abuelo, how are you going to rate it? You tell me first before you ask.
Oh, this is how we're going to play this. I actually gave it 3 stars. I like it. I didn't like it as much as last time.
Really?
There's a little. It's thinner than the Foursquare. It's thicker than the Kelivore. And there's a little lingering effect there that I think is good. But I think the Foursquare got the point across better than this one. This feels like a slightly watered-down version of that. Still very good.
It's very good.
But when we're drinking them back to back to back, very good, but I don't think Foursquare.
It's not as burny on my lips.
Yeah.
But, okay, I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay.
Because I really like the
flavor. Well, you always start off strong.
I do, I'm sorry.
Okay. So 4 out of 5. I like where you're going with this, Marty.
I really like
this. Because now, like I said, you knocked the Cavalera down to a 2.5 star. So you
actually didn't I give it a 3 or 5?
You gave it a 5, but then you realized it was 1.
Right, that should be it. Yeah, yeah. It should be 2.5. You're right. Sorry. So I did read the book for Jaws 2.
I didn't even know there was a book.
There is a book.
Paperback?
There is. It's a paperback. And in the book, this is not going to throw anybody off because this movie's got to be, what, 25, 30 years old? In the book, it's Sean that kills the shark with the cable.
Yep. Oh, okay.
Sean is holding on to the cable, and the shark jumps up, and Sean jumps off, and it bites.
Okay.
So it isn't Brody that killed. In the book, and also in the book, the things that you can't do in the movie, the shark is a female, and she's pregnant, so she's really hungry.
Ooh, so that almost sounds like... What was that movie that came out in the 80s or the late 70s that also kind of reproduced the Jaws feel, but it was about killer whales?
Orca.
Orca.
Okay, so Jaws 2.
Yeah,
I liked it. Moving on. Since we're on Abuela, here we are to Jaws 3. We're talking Jaws 3. But
it's like a good blind date. If you have low expectations.
It's fun. It's the willing suspension of disbelief. The story is, though, that Dennis Quaid was drunk and on coke the entire time he was on camera.
I did not hear it, but I wouldn't be surprised when I saw it.
He said that in an interview. Which is funny because now if you watch it, you see him really red-eyed and bleary-eyed, and it's like, okay. I can see him a little under the influence.
Well, these days, when you hear about him, anyone who's ever kind of worked with him thinks he's a dick.
I've heard that, too. Yeah. And he flies around with Trump on his plane.
Oh, so does he?
What the hell can you do?
The weird thing is, like, as time goes by, I watched, like, Jaws 3 and smoking was so in your face. And Dennis Quaid looked like a douchebag.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked like a douchebag. Even with his girlfriend, like, you wouldn't want to date a guy like him.
No.
He thought he was cool.
Now we're going to move on to Jaws 4.
The Revenge?
The Revenge. Mm-hmm.
Man's deepest fear has risen again. Jaws. The Revenge. This time, it's personal.
Well, we're doing that. What, name that room.
That is Anniversario. Anniversary, but what's the
pomp and serpentine?
Pompero. I'm gonna say this really white. Pompero Anniversario.
This was gifted to us by our great friend Jason,
and that is a beautiful bottle. Too.
Beautiful bottle comes in a leather sack.
Nice sack. Okay, I gotta cut that.
The cork is holding up well.
Yep.
Because sometimes when you do these things.
Ooh, I love the smell.
What smells do you have there, Marty?
Okay, I definitely get a lot more butterscotch.
Okay.
I get oak. I get even a little bit of chocolate.
Whoa! Let's try it. Cheers.
Cheers.
It's good.
That's smooth.
Yeah, it's got a dryness to it.
Oh, yeah, it's dry, but it's not bitey.
It's not bitey. You get all the flavors. It doesn't linger. It doesn't sit on your palate, so it's
complicated.
Ooh, let's drink that one more.
Yeah, that is a complex drink. Okay, just a touch.
I see everything you're talking about with the different flavor profiles.
Yeah.
And you get it, and then it dries on your...
Quickly.
So it doesn't linger.
No.
So you find yourself embracing the sip.
That is a sipping rum.
What are you giving it?
I'll give it a 5. I really liked it. I am not a connoisseur, so...
You're kind of a sewer.
Well, light on the con, heavy on the sewer.
I'm going to give it 4.5 just because I haven't given anything a 5 yet.
Okay.
For a brand I never heard of.
I've never heard of that brand either.
Bottle's great. The wax stamp on there, incredible. The leather bag it comes in. Gifted to me by a great friend, which I love. And from California.
Oh, it's from California.
And it hits all the right notes.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Hits all the right notes.
I like it.
This is why we drink.
Yes.
Is... That is interesting enough that it's a standard.
Now that I'm tasting it, there's even a little coffee in the background.
Ooh.
It's good. So Jaws the Revenge with one of my favorite actors from one of my favorite movies, Lance Guest from The Last Starfighter.
Yeah. It's amazing that that's where you went with that. I thought you were going to go Michael Caine.
No, Michael Caine. Well, Michael Caine is awesome.
His perm is his wonderful.
His perm is amazing. Lance Guest has a perm.
Yeah.
And
in a size 32-inch waist.
Oh, he's tiny. But anybody remembers the 80s, they remember The Last Starfighter. I went to see that with my cousin for the first time in the movie theater, and I loved it so much. I went back to see it three more times in the dollar theaters.
Nice.
I loved that movie, The Last Starfighter. If any of you have not seen The Last Starfighter, it was one of the first movies that had CGI in it. And, of course, the CGI is nowhere near what it is now. But the story is absolutely great. I loved that movie. Yeah. And the soundtrack, the score is fantastic.
I got to watch it again because you've mentioned
it. It is great. It's one of my favorites.
Jaws the Revenge, I will say this.
We need to talk.
Jaws 3 was so bad. Jaws the Revenge, I loved.
Really?
Mario Peoples? Even
well, it had Elaine Gray in it.
Yeah, it was.
Or Moraine Gray.
The background was as good as Summer Rental with John Candy.
Well, see, you're buffeting it.
Yeah, I'm buffeting it. It was all like the door to the house is seafoam green.
Yeah,
it was all the bright colors of the Caribbean / Florida. And
the thing that killed me. Okay, she's convinced to go to the Bahamas with her son. And then they cut to this shot of the shark swimming into the Bahamas. Yeah. And it's like, what the hell? There's a psychic connection.
Revenge.
Revenge.
Revenge is the common denominator.
Like, this great white shark decides, I'm going.
But the question is, which we've talked about earlier, is this a Christmas movie?
It is set in Christmas, yeah. Well, is...
Die Hard.
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Yes. I think so.
I agree.
But here's the thing that kills me. What if she went to a dude ranch in Montana? Would the shark have followed her up a river?
Well, the reality is, I think she's formidable for the shark with her shoulder pads.
Absolutely.
The shoulder pads she had going on.
Mega shoulder pads.
She looked a lot like, what was the guy who did the halftime show for the Super Bowl this year?
Bunny?
Yeah, she had the bunny shoulder pads going on. She was unstoppable with those 1980s shoulder pads.
I will. The other scene, too, is when...
Bunny, you knew it. Bad Bunny.
Yeah, Bad Bunny. Yeah, when
he did a great job.
When Peoples goes down in the sub.
Yep.
And he's checking the sun. And see, this is the other thing. Everything is bright and sunny underwater. And it's like, no, you can't. You can see a shark coming a mile away. You want dark. And anyway, he's there in the sub, and the shark is right next to him looking at him. But he doesn't eat him because it's not after him.
Yep.
It's after Last Starfighter.
Because it's a revenge.
Right. I was just like, no, I can't. I can't do this anymore. But...
I can't do this anymore.
And then
lost my reality. Yeah.
And then what's his name? Michael Caine. He ditches the plane in the ocean. The shark jumps up and he goes, "Oh shit!" and jumps off. And you never see anything. And it's like he's okay. No,
I love the movie. Like I said, I can't knock it. It's actually out of the four of them, I would put it two or three.
You'd give it a 2 or a 3?
No, I would say I think it's better than 3 by far.
Oh.
I would almost compete it with 2. Because
I would say it's worse than 3 only because it's so hokey. 3 was bad because of the special effects.
See, I think
4 was bad because of the script.
3 was bad because it was the formula of throwing a bunch of superstars at it.
Yeah.
To keep it going, and the special effects were terrible. The Revenge... in that time frame from Jaws coming out in 1974 was long enough away that it was almost an homage. Like, we know you want something in Jaws. Ooh. And it was beautifully, the aesthetics were beautiful. The characters were likable. The wife, who is the artist doing the brutalistic art.
Yeah.
I thought she was a cutie.
Lorraine Gray is awesome. I love her.
Is that the girl?
Yeah. The wife. Brody's wife.
How do you remember all these bit actors? I've never seen them since.
Well, like my wife says, I remember useless trivia, okay, and I yeah. can't remember.
I didn't know her. She's a cutie.
Her. I can't remember her birthday, yeah. so or our anniversary. But, okay, we need to go back. Jaws 3,
yeah.
when it was originally proposed to the producers of Universal, it was going to be originally called Jaws 3 People Zero.
Okay.
And it was going to be a comedy. It was going to be a National Lampoon comedy
okay.
about this movie company filming Jaws, filming a sequel to Jaws, and the people are getting eaten one by one. And it was going to be a comedy.
Okay.
And that never happened. But I think that would have actually been pretty darn funny. Don't you?
I think it would be hilarious if you did that as the real shark was coming.
You're yes.
trying. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it would have yeah. been like they were filming a shark movie as the real shark was eating them.
Yeah.
Jaws 4, I give it a solid 2.
Okay.
Maybe a 1.5.
The Revenge? Theater.
Jaws the Revenge. I laughed in the theater when I saw it.
It's a rare movie that I say I watch and I appreciate it for what it is. If you look at the 1980s when that movie came out, I said the aesthetics of it was very much a summer rental, John Candy. And the bromance between
yeah.
Brody and Ben Peoples
yeah.
was like Running Scared with Billy Crystal and what's his name?
Oh, yes.
Why am I forgetting his name? He passed away, the tap dancer. God, another great actor.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. It was, they tied in yeah. the formula yeah. that they thought would work. And I looked at it and go, dude, it wasn't, yeah. for what you did, I didn't think it was bad.
So we needed to talk about the ending. There were two endings, for okay. those of you that don't know, there were two endings where the boat rams the shark with the, whatever that thing is.
Got it. The mast
that sticks out. They ram the shark. In the theatrical version that I saw, the shark gets impaled, spits up blood, the front of the boat breaks off, and the shark just falls to the ocean floor, and that's yeah. the end. There was another version where the boat rams the shark, the rod pierces the shark, and the shark blows up. And there's no explanation for why the shark suddenly had explosives in it.
But that never made it to the theater.
It was in, I think, European theater?
Europeans are easy.
I know. I don't get it. But, yeah, the Europeans saw
I would like person. To act like an elitist over European people these days.
Yeah.
We're not.
Okay, yeah.
We're the white trash capital.
We are the white trash.
Yeah.
So there's that. So now we're moving on to
10 Square. Oh, 10 to 1.
10 to 1, Caribbean Dark Rum.
First of all, I would say, as I'm sipping it, I'm enjoying it. How the hell is it a dark rum?
It's not dark. I would call it an amber or
yeah,
gold.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually a good rum. I don't
There's worry. A lot of sugar.
Yeah. Where did they get the title dark from?
I am not a connoisseur. And again, everybody's going to go, oh my God, this reminds me of a rum that you would taste in a Trader Vic's Mai Tai.
Oh, yeah. I can see that. It's a good mixture. Actually, it's a pretty good taste by itself.
It is a good taste.
Again, I don't get where dark's coming from because
it's
I don't see dark.
It's not dark by any means. The Anniversario was much darker. This is amber. But the taste is great. You could sip it, or it would be an excellent mixer.
Yeah. What would you give it as a sipper, though?
As a sipper, I'd give it a 4.
Okay.
How about you?
3.
3, okay.
I said it's good. I mean, it
I'm
doesn't...
too lenient.
Yeah, it doesn't take away, but I agree with you 100%. Like, that in a Mai Tai is perfection because it'll
yes.
add a lot of complexity.
Yes.
When you're doing it as a sipper versus the other sippers we've had, the other sippers we had have more complexity.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
So that's why I would give it a 3. Like I said, more of a mixer. So, yeah, I would back on Jaws because you're hating on the Revenge.
I'm hating on the Revenge.
Daddy liked the Revenge.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said, for me, first of all, Mom, still a cutie, cougar looking.
I love her. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, and all of a sudden she's hooking up with a young Michael Caine, you know.
With a nice perm.
Nice perm, he can fly planes. When you look at the book Jaws versus the movies, the character of Brody was very blue-collar to the point they made him almost stupid in the book. And then when they did the movie, very good intention, good-hearted, but simple.
Yeah.
Michael Caine is a guy who flies planes. Brody's the guy who went in there and would shoot up stuff for his wife.
Yeah.
Where Michael Caine went in there and he, like, outthought the shark.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm not getting bitten by this thing. No, hell no.
All right. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? I think we've kind of done it, but let's move on just a hair into the shark movies that were just inspired. We gotta say it. And we're doing
Worthy Park.
Worthy Park.
This is a gift from Sven Kirsten.
Ooh. Get to the chopper.
Listen to me, warrior.
This is called Worthy Park 109 Jamaican Rum. 100% copper pot distilled. Oh my gosh. I'm interested in this.
And like I love our community. The tiki community is, you know, to have somebody find a brand, maybe not be a top tier brand.
Yeah.
But you go, dude, you need to taste this.
Yeah.
This is as good, if not better, than the promoted stuff.
Okay.
So Sven brought this before, and I think it has a great.
So let's smell it. Ooh.
Definitely dark.
Yeah.
I would say caramel.
Caramel.
Dark chocolate.
Butterscotch. Maybe even a little chocolate.
Here's the bow-legged women.
Here's the swimming with bow-legged women. Ooh, that's got a bite.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as deep as the smell.
Yep.
But the taste is actually really good.
Actually, as we're doing this in live time, I can't make a vote. I need a couple more seconds because it's still processing.
Yeah, I might.
Because it's still hitting.
I might need to taste that again.
Yeah, it's still kind of hitting. Because it, like, all of a sudden you're getting a, it's lingering because there's a warmness to it. There's a heat to it. And you're getting, okay, you're definitely getting, like, the butterscotch. Then that dissipates and there's a dark chocolate. If you're on the last of your drinks for the night, this one will throw you over the edge.
Yes.
This is something where your esophagus is like, don't do it to me.
It bites.
Yeah.
But it's, you can definitely get a lot of barrel in it.
This might be something I need to try. I'm going to do a little more with an ice cube. It's good. The only, like I said, if I was going to use the word distraction, the distraction is the burn takes away where you're not tasting all of it.
Yes. I agree.
If we have to go back to the house and get more Moai ice cubes. Totally different. Try it.
Yeah.
Still good.
Mmm.
Yeah.
With cold, in ice, it
takes,
it's much
with
different.
With the ice, it takes away the chocolate notes. I can still taste the butterscotch. I can taste the crispness where they're talking about, like, the copper distilled.
Yeah.
Because there's definitely, like, not a metallic, but it,
yeah, there is a little metallic. Yeah, yeah, you're
it
right.
It kind of bounces off your throat a little bit.
I would give that a 3.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give that a 4.
Really?
I'm actually going above you on this one.
All right.
The thing I would say, the last one we had, the 10-1, really good. We said it was a very good rum to sip. I said just as good as a mixer.
Mm-hmm.
This one, it is like a math equation because when you sip it, it's like 2 minutes and you're still tasting stuff.
It does. And you're like, it lingers.
So what am I tasting now? Because it didn't taste like it did a minute ago.
You could put that in a cocktail where you wanted the rum to be very forward.
I would say I agree with you 100%. The other thing I think that would make it interesting is using that as the topper.
Yes. Oh, yeah. To float on.
The floater?
Yes.
I think the floater, that would be one of those things if you did a Mai Tai with that floater. Great Mai Tai. Mm. And then when you use the straw and you bust all that in there. There is a patina to it.
Yeah.
That with the copper flavor, the bite of metallic to it, it almost has an aged flavor.
Worthy Park, 109 Jamaican Rum.
Marty Lush, 3 stars. Rory Snyder, 4 stars.
100% copper pot distilled. Yeah. Excellent.
So for Jaws, the last episode we did was just Jaws. This one we did Jaws 2, Jaws 3, The Revenge. Anything we want to talk about with the 40th anniversary of Jaws? Or was it 50th?
50th. Sorry. Well, I actually think we should just really quickly talk about the movies that inspired.
Yeah.
That Jaws inspired. And I will tell you right now, one of my favorite shark movies that isn't Jaws, and it's one of those that I did not expect to like at all,
yeah,
was The Shallows.
You're telling me about this. And I don't think I've seen it, so I can't critique it.
And if you have not seen it, just watch it. It's on streaming. And that's how I watched it. I was like, I got a couple free hours. I'll watch it. And I wound up being completely engrossed in The Shallows. This young college student, she's a doctor.
Prima donna.
Yeah, she's becoming a doctor in college. She's burned out. Her mother has just passed away. And she decides to go back to Mexico, where her mother, I guess, took her. And she goes to this really secluded beach in Mexico to surf, to get her head together. And it turns out there is a dead whale off the beach.
Okay.
And this great white shark has claimed the beach as its territory. So it's not quite like a psychotic shark,
yeah,
per se. So she's out there swimming and surfing, and she gets bit by this shark on the leg. And she gets away. She jumps up on this rock that is about, I don't know, 20, 40, maybe 50 yards from the beach.
Yeah.
And it's at low tide. So when the tide comes in, she knows she's going to be underwater.
Okay.
And so the timing of this whole movie is critical. And this shark is swimming around, waiting for the tide to come in where he's going to get her.
Yeah.
And it's really good. And I will say,
what year did it come out?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
I think I know of it. I don't think I've watched it. So I can't critique it.
I don't know what year. I will say I watched it on streaming. I loved it. And then I showed it to my family, my wife and my kids. And they loved it,
too. The Shallows.
The Shallows.
Yeah.
And then, of course, before The Shallows, what are we doing here? Are we doing another one before The Shallows?
Yeah, we're doing the Tanqueray.
Tanqueray
double rum, great rum.
Blended 15-year and 5-year. Blended.
Yep.
Okay.
For our friend Joseph at Tanqueray. Try this. Let's see what you think. Cheers.
Okay. Cheers. That's amazing. I love that.
Yeah. Clean.
Oh, boy. Tanqueray double rum, blended, matured, 16-year, 5-year. Oh, boy.
What are you giving it?
It's really good. I'm afraid to give it five because you blasted me for giving everything five.
I'm going to give it 4.5 myself.
That's delicious.
They did Tiki Caliente last year, and I want to say Circa the year before.
Yeah.
They're well rum, very good. There's a little more of a bite to their well rum.
Yeah.
That thing is godsend. You drink that, you just go, how did you get that much complexity with no burn?
No.
No burn at all.
It's very
and
smooth.
With no burn and that complexity, and the alcohol level is still where it's supposed to be.
Yes.
Usually they'll compensate with the liquor level, bringing it down to take the bite away.
Here it is. It says La Caña de Azúcar, which means cane sugar.
Yep.
Las Islas Filipinas, which means it's from the Philippines.
Yeah.
This is a very good rum.
Yeah. There's a huge Asian influence in the tiki community.
Yeah.
But their physical rums didn't match the drinks that were done by Trader Vic's and down the Beachcombers. This particular one, Tanqueray is the number one rum seller in the world.
Is it?
It's not in the U.S., but in the world it
wow.
is. And like I said, their well silver's awesome, no brainer. Their gold definitely has a twist to it that if you put it in a Mai Tai, it's a Mai Tai with Tanqueray. The double, that is as good, I shouldn't say that, that is better than an Appleton. Appleton rum is a smooth, attractive gold rum.
Yep.
That is a smooth, attractive gold rum with texture.
Tanqueray double. 16.5. Okay, now
wait. You've already brought up The Shallows.
Okay, brought up.
So then I need to bring up.
Okay,
Orca.
A fight to the death.
Nolan!
between the two most dangerous animals on Earth.
What in hell are you?
Man and orca.
What do we got here?
Diplomatico.
Oh, Diplomatico.
Diplomatico.
Diplomatico. Diplomatico.
What is the connection between Orca and Jaws the Revenge?
Well, other than the revenge part, right?
No.
No, you're going to have to tell me.
Two guys that were drinking together.
Oh.
Phil, what's his name? Was that Phil Harris? It's the actor who played
him. Richard Harris.
Richard Harris was partying with Michael...
Michael Caine. Right, you're right. Okay.
Two drunkards that were entertaining English drunkards.
Right. So I want to say, when Orca came out, I went to the theater to see it. I saw Jaws in the theater as a kid. I saw Orca in the theater as a kid. It was PG.
Okay.
The movie was very different. I want everybody to know right now, if you have not seen Orca, it's not going to be your greatest movie ever, but it's worth a watch because...
Worth a watch.
Because...
You feel for...
Richard... Yeah, Richard Harris is actually... the antagonist, and the orca is the protagonist. You actually feel sorry for the killer whale.
Agreed.
And it's kind of like if Quint didn't have a moral compass, this would have been him. This one orca is out to get him because he killed his baby and his mate. So it's almost like Jaws in reverse.
If you read the book Jaws versus the movie...
Yeah.
The book makes you hate everyone but the shark.
Everyone
should die because they have no moral compass. Brody's wife sleeping with Hooper.
Yeah.
The mob was involved, and the whole point of the book was they were bringing down the property value in Amityville to buy the land cheap.
Yeah.
So when you look at Orca, he was a captain who wanted to win. He wanted his trophy. He didn't care what it took to get the trophy.
He didn't care.
Yeah.
There is a point where he feels sorry for the whale, where he says, I would tell that whale I'm sorry for killing you.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. But then he still goes on to hunt it, and then he gets killed. And the killer whale lives, and I will tell you this right now, and this is just between all of us. I saw it in the theater. At the very end, the music by... Ennio Morricone.
Oh shit!
Was very sad, and at the end, it's just a picture of the whale, like with a camera mounted on its back, swimming away.
Okay.
And the music is so sad. I was bawling my head off as a 9-year-old kid because I felt sorry for the whale. I think my mother thought that I was traumatized by it.
It was a deep movie.
I was not traumatized by what happened to the people. I was traumatized by what happened to the killer whale.
Yeah.
And I was crying, and my mom was trying to console me, and I was like, it's so sad, like that poor killer whale. I felt sorry for the killer whale.
If you watch a movie, and if you guys have never seen Orca, I will say, it's
Bo
not...
Bo Derek.
Yeah, Bo Derek. You don't want to watch this movie over and over and over again.
No.
It's a movie you watch... It sticks with you.
Yeah.
And you can't drop it. Because, first of all, a side note is a joke. Bo Derek would never date Phil Harris, or whatever his name.
She was his daughter.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought that's right.
She got her leg bit off.
Yeah.
Now that I'm older and a little more mature, somewhat.
Question.
I like the movie for what it meant. It kind of looked at the world from the shark's perspective. But now let's move on a minute here. There was another one at around the same time. Grizzly.
Oh, I remember Grizzly. Yeah.
Grizzly. And the promo was Jaws with Claws.
Okay.
Because this grizzly preys on the easiest food of all. Man. 18 feet of man-eating, gut-crunching terror. The deadliest jaws on land belong to Grizzly.
And I remember going with a friend of mine and his family to a drive-in theater and seeing Grizzly. Can you imagine a family taking their kids or young kids to see this B bear ripping people apart.
I don't, you know, like, it's kind of like the world we live in these days with political incorrectness, like I said, or correctness. I look back at stuff that was acceptable in the 80s and 90s that's not acceptable now.
Yeah.
And you go, I'm glad it's not acceptable, but I feel bad because they were raised to believe that was acceptable.
Yeah.
When you look at those movies we watched in the 80s, if they were all natural catastrophe, bees are going to kill us.
Yeah.
Bears are going to, like, ass rape us.
Earthquakes going to kill us all.
So I think that's what they did to get your attention.
Yeah.
So do I think it's as horrific when I look back then and just go, wow, that stuff was dramatic.
It was dramatic.
I prefer that versus the Instagram world we live in now where you're not asking me a question. You're asking me an Instagram survey.
Yeah.
Or you're trying to get your algorithm going. Do you like blue or green?
I agree.
So when I see a movie, I'd rather walk away like Orca going, I'm damaged now.
Damaged? I was damaged by Orca. Orca damaged me more than Jaws.
Yeah.
And I will say Jaws damaged me because I grew to love Quint and then Quint got eaten.
Yeah.
That was the part that
How is it when we got older, though, on a side note?
Yeah.
I look at Quint now as my hero. As a kid, you're
he's awesome.
I didn't like him as a kid. He was a salty dog. He needed to die.
Yeah.
Now as an older guy, I'm like, Quint was the guy.
Here's the funny thing. My kids think I'm him because I'm out doing stuff in the yard. And I'm like, son of a bitch. God damn it. And they're just like, man, you sound just like Quint loading the boat. Well, and I'm like, I'm sorry.
Well, the question with that is it us changing over time or is it finding depth in a character? Because like you and I are going to be doing the Roper thing on Saturday. How did Mrs. Roper become the icon of Three's Company? When you watch that show, did you go, the most important character is Mrs. Roper?
But she was one of the funniest.
She was. She was hilarious.
And I think that was it. But yes.
But like over Suzanne Summers now, Jack Ritter.
Yeah.
All these guys.
Well, I think you just hit it. It's maturity.
Yeah.
As we matured, we saw Quint as somebody we were scared of.
Yeah.
Now when we look at him, he's bitching and complaining. That's exactly what I would do.
Well, the thing with the Quint I like, as I get older, you realize he's been through the shit.
Yes, he's been through it.
Every situation you see in the movie Jaws, he goes in there defensive.
Yes.
Because he's been through the shit.
He's been
through it. And he's going to handle the situation. He wants his money. He wants his revenge. And then when it gets down to the last of that movie, it's not about the money.
Yeah.
He's got to win.
All right. So we need to go one more.
Okay.
So the Diplomatico. Here we go. Diplomatico. Did you get...
I got one.
Okay. Here we go. Diplomatico, which is a beautiful green bottle.
I'm a huge fan. You know, the two we tried last time that because they win, it's kind of like when you win the award, you get top billing.
Yeah.
This one won with us before, and the other one that won with us before is the Pilar.
Pilar, I went and bought a bottle of that, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah. So these two that won the last two times get top billing at the end, and we see if something's beat it. But they get the advantage for being a champion, being last, so it's the last one we'll remember.
Diplomatico, here we go. Not as much on the nose.
Okay.
It's good. I would give that a 4.
Okay.
There's a lot there, but it's a little more higher notes, grassier.
Yeah. I'm going to tie with Tanduai. I thought the Tanduai was good. Yeah. Now the question is, and we don't have to.
Okay.
Should we go Tanduai back to back with it?
That's a hard one.
Doesn't have to be big.
Okay,
money.
we're gonna combine the two.
Because we need to be fair.
Let's talk about the other shark movie that I love.
You pour. Make them very small.
We've got other movies like The Meg, which is fun.
Well, Statham. Statham is the Bruce Willis of this era.
Yes.
As a guy who's dealing with alopecia now, whose brothers all lost their hair in the 30s, Bruce Willis made it okay to have no hair.
Yeah.
Statham brought it to the next level.
Yeah. I liked The Meg, and I liked The Meg, too, just because they were fun.
Yeah.
The one movie that became before that and was before The Shallows.
Yeah.
Deep Blue Sea.
I'm a fan of Deep Blue Sea.
It had fun with the shark idea.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Again, though, like I said, on a side note to this conversation, let's try the Tanduai again.
Okay, Tanduai.
Because we're going back to back. As soon as we drink this, pour the next one.
Okay. I love the Tanduai. Okay. And we're doing Diplomatico here. So Deep Blue Sea.
The thing I would say about Deep Blue Sea.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you're good.
Who was the rapper that was in Deep Blue Sea? He was great.
LL Cool J.
Cool J.
Yeah.
He was funny.
The thing I would say, well, let's drink this really quick so to be fair.
This is the Diplomatico.
I think you're right. Tanduai is a little better.
Tanduai?
Yeah.
Okay. By an absolute thin margin.
You know what?
The Diplomatico is really good.
I am going to adjust my margin to Tanduai. I'm putting it to 5 stars.
Okay.
My only 5 stars.
Okay.
Because now that you do them back to back, Tanduai is nober. Diplomatico has a little hanging residual.
Yeah.
It's six. Okay, so the
Tanduai is thinner tasting to me.
Yeah. A lot of these movies that we're talking about over this period of time, what I like about those movies as I'm a 53, soon to be 54 year old man, is what I loved about Jaws 2, 3, and The Revenge is they were all dated to when they released it.
Yes.
The filters, the color concepts, should we throw a bunch of celebrities in to make it a hit? When I saw Deep Blue Sea, it reminded me there used to be, before I moved to California as a Chicago boy, I would watch a TV show called, it was about cops on bikes and rollerblades in like Ventura. And it was called Blue Something. And the beginning of the 90s was all about pretty cops, pretty people handling dangerous situations. It was the California experience. So when I look at that, it was so bright colors. Everyone's pretty.
Yeah.
But I appreciate it.
Deep Blue Sea was good for me simply because they went ahead and they went all out and they made the shark psychotic.
Yeah.
And then they got inside this place and were hunting the people down. And I thought it was more fun than realistic, obviously.
Yeah.
So, okay, so there you have it, folks. We have done Jaws 2, 3, and The Revenge, plus
Orca,
and we've done Deep Blue Sea and The Shallows.
The Shallows.
So there we go. The one movie that I will say that I have not seen yet that I really want to see is called Beast of War, which is kind of like an Australian version of the Indianapolis. So the ship sinks and this gnarly looking shark is picking off the survivors one by one.
Right there.
So I have yet to see that. So anybody that wants to add that
we were lucky enough to verify that the episode we did of the Jaws got a bunch of hit counts for it and people liked it. So if you like this, let us know. And if there's a subject matter you want us to talk about, Marty and I will be connecting in beautiful Palm Springs to this tour.
I'm going to be playing my new record. I'm going to be doing a seminar on Exotica 101. And if you're not in time to do it, come in October, we're going to do Circa Caliente.
But if you make it to Caliente or Circa, just always remember, if you've ever been to these events, if you want to meet Marty or myself, not that we're cool because we're not, we're dorks. We are free to hang out with anybody. So if you come down, introduce yourself. We want to talk to you. We'd love to have drinks with you.
Yeah.
I'm
running sound, so you can come hang out with me by the stage.
Yeah, we're free, guys. So join us at Tiki Caliente or Circa Caliente. Marty and I are already lining up the October events, but we're waiting right now for the delivery of his new album that will be released at Tiki Caliente. And that album is called?
Dark Rituals.
Dark Rituals should be in hand. What color is the vinyl?
It's going to be like a smoky black and clear blue. So it's going to be funky.
Beautiful cover. Brings back old kind of styles of Lee Tag kind of black velvet. Thank you for listening to us. If you are listening to us, hopefully you're having a couple drinks with us. We are a lot more entertaining when you have a couple drinks in you. And we are blessed to have you guys as our ohana.
Thank you. Yes. We we are forever grateful for anybody out there listening to us. And thank you for letting us be idiots for a while. And I hope you like these rums.
Yay!
Aloha.